Three keys to living a victorious Christian life. Three keys to living a victorious Christian life. And in the prayer meeting before the meeting, I had a picture of those massive chains that they would hold down those big boats at a harbor. Huge chains. And I saw a sword coming and just cutting that chain, cutting the chains off to set people free. So three keys to living a victorious Christian life. Friends, slavery comes in many forms. Historically, slaves were men and women forced to serve their conquerors or captors. However, there are many other ways we become enslaved. Some men and women trapped by destructive habits struggle under the control of drugs, alcohol, special medication to help them to cope with pressures. I was chatting to a gentleman and he was telling me each time he gets stressed, he smokes. And he believes that when he smokes, that nicotine is going to be a faith pull for him to help him to go through. A believer. It's his coping mechanism. People are stuck in bondage. Others are trapped in destructive relationships. And they struggle to live with an abusive spouse or a parent. Still others are trapped in dead-end jobs or systems. Or struggle to get themselves free from financial bondage, emotional bondage, emotional thoughts. They're just stuck. They just can't get free. And we all know those that don't know Christ are on a journey of ultimate pain, suffering, agony, a place called hell, pain and suffering. We once say in that place, that's the ultimate bondage forever and ever and ever and ever. And they can never, ever, 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 ever come out. There's no second chances in hell. Yet all slaves have this one thing in common. Every single slave, whether it's a person stuck in nicotine, alcohol, medication, drugs, fear, bondage, anxiety, worry, worrying about life. Every single slave, no matter what condition they're in, all have this one thing in common, every single one of them. And that one thing in common is this: every slave desires to be set free. Everyone. Think about your condition. Maybe you're in bondage to anxiety. Maybe you're stuck with a stronghold of emotions in your mind. I'm not good enough. I don't fit in. I'm not loved. I'm not in the inner circle. My boss doesn't like me. All these fears. I don't fit in. I'm worried about my health. What are you in bondage with? Friends, I'll be very vulnerable with you. My biggest fear in life is to do public speaking. Seriously. I don't like public speaking. But God said, He wants me to do it. I get panicking, anxiety attacks. I get nauseated. I feel sick inside. And one day I had to go to God and say, God, this is abnormal. You want me to suffer like this for the rest of my life? I said, Lord, why am I in this bondage of fear and anxiety and panic? And He took me straight back to when I was a boy. I remember when I was a boy, a child, I had to do an oral speech. You know, those little public speeches, whatever. And I remember I needed to find my mom and my dad, and I couldn't find them because they were just absent parents. They just weren't there. My dad was divorced. Divorced once, married five times, just a complete mess. My mom wasn't there, so I had to do my own oral speech by myself. And it was, discuss what you like. And I honestly liked cats. I really liked cats. So I wrote an oral speech on cats. But I really battled because my father wasn't there to help me. And I remember standing up in front of the classroom doing the oral speech. And the whole thing just fell right down to the floor. And some chirped comments, and the teacher chirped a comment, and I just felt so bad and broken inside. And this was the fear. Where was my dad when I really needed him? My dad just wasn't there. As a result, as a child growing up, till the age of today, I'm 30, how old am I? 34, 35. Been carrying that thing in my heart, and I had to go and ask God why. And He took me straight back to that memory. He said, Jonathan, this, you think I'm going to drop you. And you think that I'm like your earthly father that was not there for you. See, I was stuck in a fear and a bondage on the inside of me. God had to come inside you and deliver me. Set me free. And can I encourage you as fathers, please, be there for your children. Be there. We just don't know what damage the enemy will do in that child's life if we are not there. Anyway, so I got set free. But you know, there are many bondages. Maybe you're scared of public speaking. Maybe you're scared of doing all sorts of things. Maybe you're scared of your boss. Maybe you're on certain medication just to cope, and you're not trusting God. I don't know. I'm not against medication. But what's your bondage? What's your slavery? What's your fear? Because God wants to set people free tonight. It can be a small thing. Can be a big thing. So all slaves have this one thing in common. They want to be set free. As a world traveler, Paul had seen and known many slaves, men and women, subjected to powerful governments, powerful personalities, powerful leaders. In fact, Paul himself, I want to repeat now the book of Galatians, Paul himself was stuck in bondage. Paul himself was one of those leaders believing in a powerful legalism thing. He was even destroying the church, Paul. He was under, and he was one of these powerful personalities bringing in bondage. But yet Paul was set free by the greatest liberator, Jesus, on his way to Damascus. On his way to Damascus, Paul was set free. Paul was liberated. Paul was saved. So Paul knows what it's like to be under bondage, and he knows what it's like to bring bondage in, and he was set free. And Paul penned this incredible book called Galatians. He was writing a letter to the Galatians church, and he uses quite strong language in the book of Galatians. Paul's response is quick and strong. He doesn't mince his words. In Galatians 1:6, he says this, "Don't desert Christ. Don't be foolish," Galatians 3:1. "Don't be cursed," Galatians 3:10. "Don't be a prisoner," Galatians 3:21. "Don't be a slave," Galatians 4:8. "Instead, be free," Galatians 4:7. "Be free," Galatians 4:3. "Be free," Galatians 5:1. "Be free," Galatians 5:3. You see, Paul's letter to the Galatians church is this charter of freedom for every single Christian. It's the way on how to get free. It's the way on how to stay free. It's the way on how to live free. And we're going to get three keys on how to live a victorious Christian life. I got liberated by Jesus 13 years ago. I was on an antidepressant. I had a cigarette in my mouth. I had needles in my shoulder from taking steroids. Every second word was a swear word. Jesus came right into my life, and he liberated me, and he set me free. And was it easy? No. When he told me, drop the antidepressant. I'm not saying you must, but he told me. When he said, drop the cigarette. I'm not saying you must, but I did. When he said, leave the alcohol. I left the alcohol. But he liberated me. Not out of my own strength and my own power. I could not set myself free. It was impossible for me to set myself free. But Jesus came in, he liberated me, and he set me free, not based on my own works. There was nothing I could do to earn it. It was a free gift. He came into my life, and he set me free. See, a lot of us have been set free, but we've gone back to bondage. And we're living in bondage. And we're living in slavery. Maybe it's the fear of man. Why? So three keys from Galatians 5:16 on how to live a free life. So I'm reading from Galatians 5:16. It says this, the NIV version. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is in contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, discord, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. Crucified. That means put to death the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Friends, there are three keys here on how to get free and stay free. Number one is this. Obviously, we can't save ourselves. Jesus comes in. Jesus saves us by grace through faith. Not based on our works, not based on our effort, not based on anything we can do to earn salvation. It's a free gift given to us. But we get saved by faith. We need to continue to live by faith. Paul planted those churches in Galatia. He was the father of that whole movement. Judaizers came in and they started to tell those people there that they need to add to their salvation some circumcision. Come give your life to Jesus and off you go to the hospital. That's crazy. Come give your life to Jesus and here's your new diet. Come give your life to Jesus and here's your new rules to stay free. That's what was happening. They were putting laws on the church. They were persuading them to go back into bondage to earn salvation. Paul was coming to say to them, don't do that. And this is how you stay free, living by the Spirit. So the first key, point number one, verse 16 says this. So I say, live by the Spirit. Yuri, can you get that thing for me? I like props, so just bear with me. Yeah, I'm going to be a prop man. All right. First point is coming. Watch this. This is good. You're going to love this when he comes out. If he comes out. There he comes out. All right. It'll pop it right here for me. But you're going to have to stand here, right? Oof, we're going to have fun. It's not for you, Brett. All right. First thing is this. Verse 16 says this. So I say, live by the Spirit. Remember, three keys to live a victorious Christian life, to get free, to stay free. First one is this, live by the Holy Spirit. If I come to Yuri's house, I'm going to live by him now for 2 weeks. So when I come to live by him, do I start telling him what to do in his own home? Do I tell him, hey, I'm going to sleep here and I'm going to go here and while I am cooking food, just follow me, Yuri. Do I say that to him? Do I start bossing him and telling him what to do in his own home? No. Why? Because I'm living by him now, and I'm under his rules and his conditions. I have to submit. See, Paul said this, first key, so I say live by the Spirit. When we get saved, Jesus, by his Spirit, comes to live in our heart. It gives us a new heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. But there needs to be a transfer of authority to this king. We need to start to say, Holy Spirit, you are God inside me now. You lead me. You guide me because I live by you. That means this. When he talks, I act. When he says, go there, I do this. When he says, drop this, I drop this. When he says, read this, I read this. When he says, love there, I love there. Because it says, we live by the Spirit. He is God in us. God lives inside our body. If we want to be set free, we can't be set free to do our own thing. There's a new CEO of our life. And that's the Holy Spirit living inside us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The first key to freedom is to settle that we live by him. That's what it says here. So I say, live by the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. He lives in us. The second point, Yuri, can you get inside there? Good thing you bought shorts, eh? All right. Second point is this. If you look at verse 17, it says this. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The next point is this, verse 17, is to understand we cannot live in both places. We cannot live in both places. What's the other place? It's right over here. Sexual immorality is this place. Sexual immorality, impurity, adultery, witchcraft, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, impurity, maybe coarse jokes the whole time that dishonor and hurt and damage people. Maybe wrong sexual jokes, pulling women down with our jokes, men. That can maybe be an impurity. Maybe racism can be an impurity. Sexism can be an impurity. The list goes on, impurities. Maybe defrauding a tax man can be an impurity. Maybe stealing from our company. Not being men and women of integrity. The list goes on. Selfish ambition. Envy. I like that man's wife. I like that man's car. I like that man's biceps. I like that home. I like Brett's blue shoes. Envy. We just start to envy people. We're not, something's wrong here. Envy. These two are in conflict. Verse 17 says this. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Friends, there's no in between. There is no in between. We need to make an agreement with our mouth, with the spirit, to start to live in the spirit. There has to be a verbal agreement. Lord God, I choose under you to hop in this position. Now, this is not a dam. Dams are dirty sometimes. They stink. If he's in a dam, he needs an oar. Or rowing things. He's did a lot of self-effort and works, which can be dead work. But he's hopped in, agreed to live in the spirit. He's in a river. Once we hop in and agree to learn to surrender fully to the Holy Spirit, it's a hopping over this side, an agreement with our heart and our mouth. Once he's in here, picture there's a beautiful river. Can he turn this thing and go back up? Man, that river's going to take him. Can he decide in the river to turn the thing to the left? Who's been in the river? Can you control the river? That river is sovereign. That river is taking you somewhere. When we hop in and surrender fully to the Holy Spirit, we tap into His power. He starts to lead us. He starts to guide us. And He starts to lead us. All the other things start to fall off. I could not stop my smoking, drinking, swearing, antidepressants. I had no power. But when I agreed to surrender fully to the Holy Spirit and His power, I hopped in on this side. I hopped into the river. We need to hop into the river. And it's an agreement in our mind and in our heart. Number one, first point, we live by the Holy Spirit. Number two, we make an agreement. An agreement to live in the Holy Spirit. When we're in the Holy Spirit, His power starts to move us forward. When you're in a dam, you stay put. You have to work a lot. When you're in a river, the Holy Spirit moves. That's what it says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. He's not like this thing where you just stand still. The Holy Spirit is always moving. Now, the next thing that He starts to do in our life, if you look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Intimacy, while you surrender to the Holy Spirit, while you're in this place of surrendering everything to Him, intimacy, next point, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit brings the transformation. That deep place of intimacy, Like my illustration, Lord, why do I feel so scared to talk? I had to fellowship. Holy Spirit, what's going on in me? He took me straight back to that place. That intimacy with Him liberated me and set me free. The intimacy with the Holy Spirit always produces Christ-like character, which is the fruit of the Spirit. We in our Christian walk need to be surrendering to the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with Him. And while we are fellowshipping with Him nonstop, He's transforming us into Christ-like character. We are called to be like Christ and do like Christ. And we need to start to be more intimate, fellowshipping related. I'm more task-orientated. I have to learn. I want to climb a tree, chop a tree, play with bricks, run around. I have to learn to be intimate. For some of you, it's much easier. But for the task-oriented guys, it's difficult to sit here and just be and spend time having fellowship, being intimate. Husband and wife, they are intimate, something happens. There's children. Intimacy is a seed in the ground that produces fruit. Christ-like character. And I'm going to go through some of the fruit. This is not a comprehensive study. It's only a little bit. The fruit of the Spirit produces this type of character in us. Love. An intense desire to please God and love people. If you see someone grown in love, they've been having intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intimacy. Next one, joy. An inner joy that stays no matter what the outside circumstances are. There's a special joy in serving the Lord and doing what He has called us to do. Maybe for you, you hate your job. You say, I dread this place. Maybe you just need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and let Him put some joy back in you. Because He wants to do it. It's Christ-like character. Next one, patience. Long-suffering. But these two words are very similar in meaning. Endurance and consistency and steadfastness. Sometimes I jog with Brett and Arthur, and they go very fast and very long. They do about a 10K. I have to be patient in enduring this long jog when they're ahead. And I'm huffing and I'm puffing and I'm panting and I'm sweating and they're just having so much fun. And it's very easy for them. Patience. Being patient through difficult times. Next one, kindness. Being kind to people. Friends, if you are always snapping at a person, you're just not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You know, like those people that they bark at you. That's not fruit of the Spirit. We need to be in the place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit and being kind to people. Kind. It's Christ-like character. Kind. Considering the needs of others, contributing to other people's happiness. My wife's a prime example of that. Always being kind, contributing to my happiness and the children's happiness. Goodness, reaching out to do good to others, even though they don't deserve it. Friends, this is a fruit of the Spirit. Being kind, being good to somebody when they're rude to us. When you're at work, and your work colleague is being rude to you. Are we modeling goodness or are we playing revenge? See, friends, we don't want to listen to this stuff sometimes because it's difficult to be kind and good to people. It challenges our character. It confronts us because we only want to be good to nice people. We want to be good to those that are good to us. But Christ was good to those that were not good to Him when He hanged on that cross. Oh, Father, forgive them. He was not thinking, Lord, smite them, kill them. He was good. Christ-like character. Friends, we want to go for the nations. We want to do this. We want to do this. But we are forgetting this important thing of building our character. Christ-like character. Men that are committed to the Lord. That are walking in Christ-like character. That are paying the price. That when you look at it, this person has been with Jesus. They're an example. Faithfulness. Being reliable and trustworthy. Brett was mentioning to me a while ago that he battles with this because he's such a reliable, faithful man. Meaning this, that if he says he will do something, he will do it. How many men just say one thing and do another thing? What's lacking? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in there, and the Holy Spirit brings the change and the adjustment. Gentleness, being humble and considerate to others, submissive to God and His Word, even when anger is the appropriate thing to do. Last one, and this is a painful one, self-control. I was speaking to a gentleman, and he spent 10,000 rand for a doctor to say this to him. You must lose weight. I was thinking, I would have told you that, my friend, for 10 grand. Gee. What's lacking? The fruit of self-control. Self-control. Yeah, Lord, I'm battling with my health and my eating and my training and this and that. And Holy Spirit, why am I battling? I need some self-control here. What's lacking? He'll come in you and He will fix you and He will transform you from the inside out so that we can live in victory in that area and be a witness and an example. Being master of all sinful human desires, the Holy Spirit helps us to exercise self-control. And friends, this is done by faith. Not, I'm going to be self-controlled when I feel like it. Picture this, a train. Two carriages. One carriager, another carriager. This carriage, faith. This one, emotions. If emotions is in the front, then we base our living on how we feel. I'm going to come to church only when I feel like coming. I'm going to pray only when I feel like praying. I'm going to do exercise only when I feel like doing exercise. I'm going to love my wife only when I feel like loving my wife. I'm going to be good to somebody only when I feel like it. You see, if that train's on the front, we'll go round and round and round and round. But if faith is in the front, faith pulls us. Faith overrides how we feel. When that person irritates you, then I'm going to model the fruit of goodness here. When that person annoys you and talks bad about you, I'm going to choose to honor that person behind that person's back and be kind. When that person goes and puts the dagger in your back, and I choose to have the fruit of the Spirit now, and I'm going to go buy that person a gift. I'm not going to be that person. Friends, this is difficult, but this is Christ-like character. We'll be known by our love for each other, and we'll be known by these fruits growing in our life, growing, growing, growing. And our children look at our fathers and our mothers. They walk like Jesus. When people come into the church, wow, these people love like Christ. Look at all this fruit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's self-control. When someone walks in, hey, I see the fruit of self-control there. And you're having fun in the river. Friends, three keys to walk in freedom. One, change of ownership in your mind, the Holy Spirit. Two, we cannot be in both sides. If your foot's here and here, what's going to happen? You're going to fall. That's why some of us are falling the whole time, because we're doing this. We're doing this. Get that other foot in there and just hop in. Agree to live in the Holy Spirit. And number three, intimacy with the Holy Spirit or fellowship always produces Christ-like character. Christ-like character. 3 points to living in complete victory.